Okay, Shalom Uvracha to everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning shiur at the Young Israel of Woodmere. A couple of announcements. There is Tehillim after the shiur. For those who are able to stay and finish the Tehillim, is a collective effort. Yemalei Hashem, kol mishalus libeinu letova. Amen v'amen. In terms of a calendar announcement, this is our final shiur in this venue for January. The next Thursday morning shiur at the Young Israel of Woodmere will be on February 1st. I will be away Be'ezrat Hashem the next two Thursdays, so we resume here after today on February 1st. Finally, Rabbi Schachter asked me to announce that this Sunday morning, January 14th, at 10 a.m., there is a program for men and women here at the Young Israel of Woodmere, marking 100 days in captivity. Total of 137 captives between the hostages and Rachmana Litzlan, the Niftarim, that Hamas and Machshimam are holding. There will be different speakers speaking on insights into Tehillim. That is this Sunday morning here at 10 o'clock in the morning. As is chos for Pidyon Shvuyim, v'shavu banim legvulam, v'shavu me'eretz oyev. Let us get right into our learning. Due to the time, I have an appointment at home at 10:45. We started quite late today, that's what Hashem wanted. I have to leave immediately after shiur. Please do not come over to me. I don't want to be rude. I have to go immediately after shiur. If someone could do a tova and put the handouts that are left in Shemos, because I won't have time, I appreciate it very much. Okay, those are our announcements. And now let's start with our learning. So today's shiur is generously sponsored by Mimi and Stuart Samuels. We thank them very much for their sponsorship. This shiur is Zecher Nishmas and Lilui Nishmas, Mimi's father, on the occasion of his Yurtzeit, Chof Gimel Teves. Shiur should be his chos for the Aliyah Neshama Latova and Zechira Latova of Moshe Ben Yechiel Mechel, Zechrono Levracha, in the merit of the Divrei Torah that we will share together today. On the first piece on your handout, let us read this together. The first orphan baby girl of Operation Swords of Iron, the widow of Roi Moshe, Hashem Yikom Damo, who was killed on Simchas Torah when he went out to save his brothers and sisters, gave birth last night. Rosh Chodesh Shvat, a healthy baby girl, Baruch Hashem, who she named Gili. This was the name her father, Zichrono Levracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, chose for her before he was killed. Rachmana Litzlan. Emotional widow told me, Shai Grauscher is writing this, I'm posting it. Emotional widow told me about the incredibly different experience, about the incredibly difficult experience of having a baby without her husband. It was hard mentally and physically. I heard my husband talking to me. I cried out to Hashem to please bring Mashiach already, so I can see my husband once again. We just began the month of Shvat. The letters of Shvat stand for Shenishma Besuros Tovos. Halavai, we should be zocha, we should merit to hear only good news. Baruch Hashem, he writes, the month has begun with a big simcha of the new baby, Mazal Tov. Thank you to all who are helping her with her needs, a nurse, a stroller, babysitters, a place to relax or recover when she leaves the hospital, any other needs that may arise. I actually had this on my status yesterday. Someone who learns with me, she lives out of town, she replied back. She said, Hashem Yikom Damo, Hashem Yirachem, we can supply her with everything except for her husband. I am sending you a picture of the new baby girl, Shai Grauscher writes, and a video of my recent visit to the widow, Love Shai. And at the bottom, you see a picture of Roy Moshe, Hashem Yikom Damo, as well as his new baby daughter, Gili Shatichya, with a blanket with her father's name upon the blanket. All right. This week's parasha is Parashas Ve'era. And a lot happens. Begins with the Arba Lashonot Geula. We have the family tree of the house of Levi and Moshe. And we have the first seven Makos. Dom through Barad, the first seven Makos, are in this week's Parsha. It's very, very interesting when we consider Moshe's lineage. So I'm just going to ask you a series of questions, Torah trivia. My husband said a cute story the other day. At dinner, he was in the office. So there were two from coworkers, one Hasidish fellow and one, I would say yeshivish, just to use terms. I'm sorry, I'm just using terms. So they were having a discussion about who was the wife of Noach. So my husband happened to walk in, so they said, Moshe, who is the wife of Noach? So he said, Naomi. So when he told the story over, right away he said, Naama. So they said, one says to the other, you should be ashamed of yourself. You see, even he knew what the answer was. So why are they discussing it? Apparently one of the kids had for homework and they didn't know. So neither of them knew. One said to the other, but really they neither knew. So they said to him, why do you know this? So he said, do you know who my wife is? So let's do some easy Torah trivia. Who is Moshe's father? This is easier than Noach's wife, because Noach's wife is brought down in Rashi to Parshas Bereishis, so I have to find it. This is much easier. Who is Moshe's father? Oh, who is Moshe's mother? What tribe is he from? You see, I'm not making a joke. Every single person in the room should be answering this. I'm not making a joke. We're going to go through a very, very interesting learning experience. Say, this is not a joke. His father is, every single person in the room should be answering. If you don't know Rashi about Naama, fine. You all know that Amram is Moshe's father. We all know Yocheved is his mother. He's from the tribe of Levi. His sister is? His brother is? This doesn't even fit into today's shir, but his wife was? Tzipporah. And his sons were? Gershom and Eliezer. Very good. It's very, very interesting. We all know this because of our prior knowledge. When do we actually find out anything about Moshe's family? The answer is in this week's Sedra in Perek Vav. Okay, when do we meet Moshe? Vayeyech ish mi beis levi, vayikachas bas levi, vatahar isha vatele bein vatereo soki tovhu. Not until Perek Beis Pasuk Yud is he actually named as Moshe. So we meet him in Perek Beis, Pesukim Aleph through Yud. He kills the Mitzri. He runs away. He marries Tzipporah. He's starting a family. He's by the burning bush. God appears to him. You're the Redeemer. We know nothing about who Moshe actually is, which shows you how we come to Torah with preconceived notions. If you approach Perek Beis, Psukim Aleph through Yod, I just quoted Aleph, Beis, and Yod for you, without any prior information, you would actually have no idea who we're speaking about. Vatahar Ha'isha, what's her name? Vatele Bein. Vateriyoso kitovu, vatitzpineo shalosha yirachim, velo yachlo ad hatzpinoso, vatitzasav pasukdal, vatitzasav echosu meirachok, ladad mayaselo. Who's the sister? Vihine nar bocha. The Baal Turim says it's Aaron. Nar bocha. Who's the nar was crying? It doesn't say. Even Bas Paro doesn't actually have a name. What's her actual name? She's an Egyptian princess. She's the daughter of Pharaoh. Moshe is chosen for Gedula, for prominence and for his job, before you know anything about who he is. And I'm not talking about Drush or Rashi's. I'm talking about the Pasuk Pshat. Wouldn't it make sense in Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph, to tell me what you tell me in Pasuk Beis? This is after the Arba Lashon Ge'ula. The fifth, and then the Torah says, oh, you know, maybe we should tell you who the Redeemer is. Seriously, it's a little late. You should tell me now who the Redeemer is. We're so used to the narratives and the way we learn Torah from the time we're in kindergarten that we never stop and come to Chumash with open eyes. Who is Moshe? And why don't you tell me until the mission already started? What tribe is he from? What's going on here? So let's look quickly at the Psukim in Perek Vav, very, very quickly. Yeah, oh, yes, the page is page 320, okay, to make it very easy. If you don't have a chumash, if you want, you could get up or you could listen, whatever. Sit next to someone who has one. Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Dalet, page 320. These are the heads of the father's household. Because we're getting to Levi, first it tells me the family of Reuven, because we're not just going to go to Levi. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, birth order. It tells me Reuven. It tells me Shimon. Pasuk Tes Zayin. Ve'ei l'shmos b'nei Levi. L'todasem Yaakov, generation one. Levi, generation 2, Gershon, Kahasu, Merari, generation 3. God, yes. The sons of Gershon, for our share, we don't need to talk about that. Pasuk Gidchas, and the sons of Kahas are Amram, Yitzhar, Chavin, and Uziel. Now that's going to be very significant for Parshas Korach, because the son of Yitzhar is Korach, and why isn't he appointed the prince? And he's very insulted, and he's upset, and he's going to start a fight with his first cousin. Fine, so we have Yaakov, Levi, Kahas, Amram. Pasuk Chof, page 322. Vayikach Amram es Yocheved dodoso lo liisha. Now everyone just knows that in Parak Beis, Vayelech ish mi Beis Levi, Vayikach es Bas Levi, it's these people. But how do we know? Because Chazal tell us. But there's also something called Pshuto Shel Mikra. And you have to also understand the Pshat, the way Hashem writes the Chumash. So why did Akash Baruch Hu not tell us until this point? What's happening here? Amram takes Yocheved as aunt, because Yocheved is Bas Levi for a wife, and she gives birth to Aaron and Moshe. So now we know that his parents are Amram and Yocheved. Now we don't know that until now. Aaron married Elisheva Bas Aminadav, Achos Nachoshon. We already know who Moshe married from Pasuk Beis. We know the children of Aaron, Nadav, Aviu, Elazar, and Isamar, the sons of Korach. We know about Pinchas, Pasuk Havav, who Aaron and Moshe, Shar Marsham, Lamotzias Penesha, Mitzrayim, Otsavosham, Heyman, Medabrim, Malpar, Mach, Mitzrayim, Lotzias Penesha, Mitzrayim, who Moshe of Aaron. It is compelling, very compelling, that this is the first time we actually hear about Moshe's birth. Because really, Parak Beis is just an anonymous story. You're using prior knowledge to fill in the blanks. But the Pshuto Shel Mikra actually tells you nothing. He fled Egypt, according to the Ramban, to Parak Beis, Pasuk Chof Gimel. He fled Egypt at the age of 20. He's been chosen as a leader. He stayed before Paro. He spoke to God. He heard the Arba Lashon HaGeula. Who is Moshe? And why is his whole background anonymous? So let us begin. We're going to have two approaches today. Approach A and approach B. There are different insights and different answers. Let us start with approach A. And for that, we're first going to learn the Rambam. We're going to learn the first three halachos of Hilchos Teshuvah Parakei. So go back to your handout, please. Mishneh Torah, Hilchos Teshuvah Parakei, halachos Aleph through Gimel. You know, we have to ask ourselves, do we come here, is it predetermined that I will be a sinner or I will be a person who does mitzvos? That I will be righteous or that I will be wicked? So if I sin, can I blame God for creating me and for making me a yetzara? Rishus l'chol adam nisuna. This is the opening lines of Parakei and Hilchos Teshuvah. Rishus l'chol adam nisuna. Every person has permission. Permission for what? Im ratza lahatus atzma l'derech tova, v'lihios tzadik harishus biyado. If a person wants to turn himself to the side of good, and he wants to be righteous, go right ahead. You make a choice. You want to keep the hilchos kashrus, keep them. You want to keep tares hamishpacha, you want to dress tzanua, you want to do chesed, you want to give tzedakah, you want to make time for tefillah, you want to keep Shabbos, you want to do tikkun amidos or strive to be misak in your midos. If you want to turn yourself to the good path and you want to be righteous, harashus biyado, you have permission to do so. The imratza lahatos atzmo lo derech ra. And if you want to go into McDonald's for lunch and you want to go to the bar on Friday night and you want to watch mature content rated R preachers on TV, and you want to listen to things you shouldn't be listening to, and you want to speak Lashon Hara, you want to do something bad, Vilios Rasha, you want to be wicked, Arishus Biyado, no one's stopping you. Husha Kasu B'Torah, like it says in the Torah, referring to the Garden of Eden, Hein Ha'adam Hayaka Achad Mimenu L'das Tovira. In the aftermath of the first sin, the angels say, you know, the man will be like one of us. Lada'as tovira. Man will now know the difference between good and bad, and he can distinguish and choose between good and bad. Kolmar, hein min zesha adam, haya yachid ba'olam. The human species, the human race, is unique in the world. Ve'ein min sheini domala. There's no other species in the world that compares to a human being. So the very easy example is when the wildebeest, hundreds of thousands strong, are migrating across the Masai Mara River, and there are crocodiles in the river waiting for the wildebeest and lions on the bank. No, I'm not making a joke. I'm being serious. The wildebeest cannot choose whether they should go and migrate across the river or not. They can't think, you know, maybe if I go, I'm leading the calf, the newborn wildebeest, into the jaws of the crocodile. So I'm going to stay on this side of the river. They are driven by instinct, and they are compelled. They're not bad. Animals are not bad. That's why you really are. It's a pet peeve, but you should just know, and when people call terrorist animals, I don't think it's an appropriate term at all. They are demons. They are satanic. They are the incarnation of the most utmost evil in human bodies, but they're not animals. Animals were created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fulfill a certain purpose on this earth. And the wildebeest cannot choose if he should migrate across the river. There's something inside him that compels him. Oh, the baby is not very strong, and the lions and the crocodiles pick the weakest ones off. It has to go across the river. The Rambam says, without talking about specific animals, he says, but there's no other species that compares to a human being. A human being can assess the situation. A human being should assess the situation and choose. Humans are unique. With his wisdom, with his intelligence, with his mind, he can know the difference between good and bad. You could choose if you want to eat kosher for lunch or if you don't want to eat kosher. Obviously, you know which option I recommend, but it is your choice. You know, the hyena doesn't say, you know, the lion made the kill, so it's really not nice to steal. We're not going to take the carcass from the lion. The hyena doesn't know that the Torah says lo signov. So the hyena's hungry, so it's not nice to steal the kill from the lion. They have cubs that need to be fed. Why are you stealing the kill? That's how Hashem made them. But we're not like that. I can go into a store and I can, you know, I don't know, eat 10 grapes while I'm shopping. And then when I get to the register, it's 10 grapes less in weight. Or I can say, I'll wait till I pay and eat 10 grapes in the car. You have a choice. And the Rambam says, there's no one else, there's no other species like a human being. You are not predestined to be evil or good, tzaddik or rasha. The choice is in your hand. Also, kabashu chafetz. You choose whatever you desire. Ve'ein mishiyaki biyadom, melasso satovara. There's no one holding you back from good or bad. The Kaven Shekain, who pen Yishlach Yadu, he's quoting from the end of the Acher min ha'etz ha'chayim v'chay le'olam. He's quoting right from the end of Perek Gimel and Parshas Bereishis, where the angels say, if he eats from the etz ha'chayim, he'll live forever. In other words, man might choose now to eat from the etz ha'chayim, he has to leave Gan Eden. But the point of the Rambam is that we all make choices all the time. So when you do an Avera, you can't look at God and say, it's your fault. You made me a Yitzhar. That's what Adam said. You shouldn't have made me a woman. It's your fault. Zok Rashi, kafui betova. Halacha beis. Al yavar b'machshavtcha dvar zesh amim tipshei umos olam v'rav gomei b'nei Yisrael. That's from the word golem, like a clod. A golem, a clod, someone who's thoughtless. You should not think in your mind this matter that the foolish of the nations of the world and the unintelligent amongst Israel say, Shakosh Baruch Hu gozer ala am mitchilas b'ya, so liyo sadek rasha. You should not say that God predetermines before your birth if you will be the God of Hador or the Amalek of the door. Well, that wasn't a good example. Amalek's Anisha. That's not a good example. If you'll be the God of Hador or the sinner of the door. You should not say that. Ein hadavar kein, ala kol adam roido liyo sadek kimosha abenu arasha kiryavavim. This is not how the matter is. Every person can be as righteous as Moshe, Rabbeinu, or as wicked as Yeravam. So I really wanted to tell you who Yeravam ben Nevat was. We don't really have so much time, but he reigned from 797 to 776 before the Common Era. More than 700 years before the Common Era. Obviously, we're talking about the time of Bayis Rishon, and under his rule, Malchus Yehuda and Yisrael split, and he put up Avodah Zarah to prevent the people from Malchus Yisrael to going to be Olal Regal. He stopped them from going to Yerushalayim, Har Tzion. He is considered one of the greatest sinners in Jewish history. I want to tell you more. No time. You could look it up. Okay, let's go. Ka Adam Raido Liyos Sadik Moshe Rabbeinu Rasha Kiryavim. O Chacham, O Sachal, O Rachman, O Achzari, O Kilei Yeshua. You could be wise, you could be a fool, you could be merciful, you could be cruel, you could be stingy, or you could be generous. V'kein Shar Kol Deos, and all other human temperaments. It's up to you. V'eino Mishiach Pehu, there's no one standing over you forcing you. But there's no taskmaster beating you if you should give tzedakah or not give tzedakah, learn Torah or not learn Torah. Speak Lashon Hara, don't speak Lashon Hara. V'lo gozer alav, there's no one decreeing upon you these choices. V'lo misha moshchol la'achad mishnei adrachim. You want to make time for Torah and God, so you make time for Torah. You don't want to make time for Torah and God, he's not going to stop you. No one's forcing you. There's no one pulling you to any of the two sides. But he, out of his own will, out of his own mind, can go whichever path he wants. Hushi Yirmiyahu, Amar Mipi, Al Yom Lo Seitzeh HaRoz V'Atov, like Yirmiyahu this says, and it's in Megillas Eicha, we know Yirmiyahu wrote Eicha 18 years before Churban Bayis Rishon, from the mouth of the Most High does not come out bad or good. Whether you will be bad or good is not decreed by God. The Creator does not decree upon you what you will live your, the way you will live your life, and who you will make yourself into be. When you choose the path of sin, you lose your own self. There's no one to blame, in other words, but you. Remember, this is Hilchos Teshuvah. It is worthy that he should cry and he should lament, he should keen over his sins, and he should think what he has done to his soul when he has chosen the path of wickedness, and what he has done to pay his soul back with bad. The Pasuk says in Eicha, adam chai, the end of the Pasuk is gever achatosav, nachpura darkeinu v'nashuva ad Hashem. Of what should a living man complain? Gever achatosav, a man should complain for his sins. Nachpura darkeinu, we must examine our ways, v'nashuva ad Hashem, and return to God. V'chazav amar ho'il u'rushusenu b'yadeinu, Yirmiyahu is saying, since permission is in our hands, u'medatenu, and from our own mind, asinu kol haros, we have done all these bad things, ra'idanu lachzor b'teshuvah. A person should say to himself, you know what? I have to do teshuvah. The laws of Rishenu, become an Elazar ben Dardai. Hopefully you didn't live like Elazar ben Dardai. But if you did, it's never too late. Leave your wicked ways. Sharishus atzav yadenu. You always have permission to repent. Hu shakasu v'acharav nach b'sad darkenu v'nachor v'nashuv ad Hashem. Halacha gimel. V'davar zeh ikur gadolhu. This is a great matter, a great essence in Judaism. V'hu amud ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvah. It is one of the pillars of Torah and mitzvos. A pillar and an ikur gadol. Shenemar, the pasuk says in Devarim, Reina Satil Fenechayam. We read these psukim. By the way, Perek Lamed is Nitzavim. We always read that by the Sersimi Teshuva, either right before or the Parsha of Shabbat Shuvah. These psukim, Perek Lamed, it's all about Teshuva. Umal Hashem Ekecha Slavavcha Veslavad Zarecha, it's all about Teshuva. It's always read by the Yamim Noraim. Reina Satil Fenechayam Esachayim Vesatov. As a bracha, as a ra, as a klala. In other words, I place before you two paths. You choose. Ukasiv, and furthermore, it says in Parshas Re'i, Re'i Anochi Nosei Nifnecham Hayam. Bracha uklala. Do you want to choose blessing? You want to choose curse? Good or bad? Klomar, Sharishus Biyadchem. Rambam says you have a choice how to live your life. V'chol sheyachbo to Adam la'asos, k'mimase b'nei Adam, oseh ben tovim ben ra'im. Anything a man desires to do from the actions which a human being lives his life, whether it's good or it's bad, go ahead. And because of this matter, the Pasuk says in Devarim, who shall give and your heart shall pay attention to this. We have to be miskaving in our choices and how we live every day and what we choose. Are we thinking? I know it sounds like I'm repeating myself, but I'm actually going through halachos of the Rambam, and each word is the Rambam. I'm not repeating myself. The Rambam is stressing to you that the Creator is not forcing you. It's your choice. how you will speak, how you will interact, how you will talk to other people, bein adam chaveiro, bein adam la'atzmo, bein adam la'makom. Why does this all have to do with Moshe Rabbeinu, who we do not find out his parents, his Levi, Kahas, Amram, Moshe, until Parak Vav? I am quoting from last week's Dvar Torah by Rabbi Noach Victor, the Rosh Hashiva of Or Yerushalayim. My son sent it to me. My son told us over briefly. I didn't get this, but when I was preparing this year, I texted my son and I said, was it you at the Shabbos table who told over about Moshe and why the lineage occurs so late? He said, yeah, that was me. So was he went to OJ for 2 years, Baruch Hashem. So he still receives Baruch Hashem Devei Torah from different Rabbeim at the yeshiva. So I said, he said it was Rabbi Victor's pre-Shabbos email. So I said, could you please send it to me? So this is from Rabbi Noach Victor, the Rosh Hashiva at Or Yerushalayim. The marriage of Amram and Yocheved is described with the enigmatic words, a man from the house of Levi went, Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph, and took a daughter of Levi. It would seem appropriate, as the Torah introduces a very important milestone. How important is this milestone? From the time he's born until the time he dies, 40 years later, at the end of his Osah Brach and Perek Lama Dalad, we're with Moshe, I know, Tetzaveh's name is absent, but Lamaisa, we're with him totally forever, Mamish forever. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. He's Moshe Rabbeinu. So what do you say? It's a pretty more milestone that this baby is born. The Torah should at least mention the name of his parents. Shouldn't we be taught of his yichus before he's born? Amram, from the tribe of Levi, went and took Yocheved, his aunt, she's Bas Levi. He quotes the Sha'arei Ora by Rav Bergman. The Sha'arei Ora by Rav Bergman says this is precisely the point. A person must know, this is approach A, two approaches. A person does not need Yichus to become a Moshe Rabbeinu. I know you might think like that's crazy, but the Rambam himself writes that everyone has the permission in his own hand to be as great as Moshe or as wicked as Yerubam. The Rambam writes that. A person does not need Yichus to become Moshe Rabbeinu. Anyone is capable of reaching spiritual heights based on his own merit and his own capabilities. It's actually brought down, I just thought of it now, not even when I was preparing, in the biography of Malach in Our Midst of Rav Moshe Twersky, Hashem Yimkom Damo Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the eldest grandson of Rav Salvechik from Yeshivas Taras Moshe, who was murdered in the Harnof massacre. So he had very chashuv yichus on both sides. So when his children would, I don't know if brag is the right word, I don't know if the safer in front of me, when his children would talk about their yichus, especially in front of guests, he would say, we all have the same yichus. We all come from Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sar, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. In other words, your yichus is very nice, but who are you? The Torah specifically does not want to tell us who Moshe is until after he's chosen and he's proven his worth and he has started his job, because he did not receive his position because of who his father was or his grandfather or his great-grandfather. He merited on his own worth. A person does not need to have a distinguished father to lead a distinguished life. I'm going back to Rabbi Victor. A person does not need to have a distinguished father to lead a distinguished life. By the way, the flip side of this is also true. Maybe for most of us, I don't know, you don't come from the Gadol Hador. Maybe you do, I don't know. Moshe did. Amram Gadol Hador Haya, says the Gemara. But maybe we come from Erlach Fine Yidden, who are not the Gadol Hador. So maybe the flip side is, no matter who your parents are, whether they're the Gadol Hador or they're fine, hardworking Erlach Yidden, you could ascend to greatness, whichever household you come from, if you but choose to be great. Rabbi Victor says a person does not need to have a distinguished family to lead a distinguished life. It is true, Moshe's father is the Gadol Hador, but the Torah de-emphasizes, not emphasizes that point. Moshe's parents are left out, anonymous, to stress that his lineage is not what made Moshe Moshe. The idea is that every child and every human being is capable of reaching great heights. either despite their lineage or because of their lineage, it doesn't matter. Who are you? And it's something we all have to ask ourselves. What am I doing in this world? Of course, it doesn't mean, by the way, ignore your past. What did you learn from your parents? What is the Mishora from your grandparents? But let's say somebody is a Ger or Gioras. Let's say somebody is a Choser Petushuva. Let's say they mamish did not learn anything in Yahadosh from their parents. It's possible. It doesn't mean they cannot be a Moshe Rabbeinu. They can also be a Moshe Rabbeinu. We can all be, depending on what we choose. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Teshuva, he quotes the Rambam, one line in English, any individual can be as righteous as Moshe. We saw the first three halachos inside. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, he quotes, Zatzal, comments that the Ramah rules in the Shulchan Aruch, listen to this, it is preferable if a mother is incapable of nursing her baby, she should have another Jewish woman nurse the child. The Ramah codifies this as halach on the Shulchan Aruch. A non-Jewish woman may only serve in this capacity as a wet nurse to nurse the baby if there is no other alternative. The reason for this is because a non-Jewish nurse, wet nurse meaning, eats non-Jewish foods. The milk is a byproduct of what she has consumed, and we don't want the Jewish child. If it's pikuach nefesh, it's a different situation. But if there's a Jewish wet nurse, that is who the child shall nurse from. These laws derive from the fact, well, where's the law derived from? We all know. Prior Torah knowledge. The laws derive from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu refused to nurse from an Egyptian. The sister, who we don't know who she is, says, should I go call you a wet nurse? Isha mei nekest min ha'ivrios. The law is derived from the fact that Moshe refused, I'm still quoting Rabbi Victor, who's quoting Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, who's quoting the Ramah on the Shulchan Aruch, that law is derived from the fact that the nurse, that Moshe refused to nurse from a non-Jewish nursemaid. The sages tell us, because this mouth would in the future speak to the Shekhinah, he did not want to have milk from a non-kosher mother. There are more rules in the Shulchan Aruch based on this, that the mouth that is destined to speak with the divine presence should only nurse from a Jewish mother. We might ask, says Rabbi Victor, this is codified as a halacha. Now, maybe that's true for Moshe. The mouth destined to speak to the Shekhinah should not drink the milk of an Egyptian woman. So what's your question? Why is that codified as halacha? It's very nice in Moshe Rabbeinu's case, but are you telling me that in our generation, Shulchan Aruch was codified in the 1500s, both Rav Yosef Kara and Rav Moshe Isserles' case, are you telling me that any time since, I don't know, the end of the period of Nevuah, is there a Jewish baby who grew up to speak with the Shekhinah? So why is it codified as halacha that a Jewish baby should not drink from a wet nurse who is not Jewish? We might ask, writes Rabbi Victor, when is the last time a Jewish baby was born who grew up to engage in personal conversation with the divine presence? It is certainly not an everyday occurrence. It has not happened since the days of Malachi. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, we learn from here that every Jewish child must be viewed as a child who potentially will speak with the Shekhinah. How do we view our children? How do we look at the inherent godless within every Jewish child? We must educate ourselves and the next generations to make the right choices. And once you become bar mitzvah, only you can make your choices for yourself. To view everyone as potentially being the mouth that will speak to the Shekhinah. If it's codified as halacha, it's not a hashkafik dvar Torah Moshe Rabbeinu. It's brought down as halacha l'maisa for every Yiddish baby. Great lineage is not necessary to achieve potential, to achieve your potential, to bring your potential to fruition. An anonymous man, he rephrases Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph. Vayelech, I'm going to say it in Hebrew, he writes in English. Vayelech ploni almoni mi beis levi, vayikach plonis almonis mi bas levi. As the Rambam writes, anyone is capable of reaching such a level. It's a really beautiful chiddush by Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, that if that's the halacha, we have to recognize everybody can really be a Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's approach A. So at a certain point, yes, the Torah wants you to know who Moshe comes from. But don't think that's why he was chosen to be Moshe Rabbeinu. Of course, This has a tremendous Musar Haskel for how we view ourselves, how we view our own potential, and how we view the potential of our children and our Talmidim and Talmidos. We have to understand that Moshe was not chosen because he comes from Yaakov, Levi, because his father was the God of Adar. No. He stood up for the downtrodden. He killed the Egyptian, beating a Hebrew. He tried to break up a fight between two Jews. He stood up for the girls at the well so that the bullies at the well would not take advantage of them. He ran after a little lamb. Hashem said, you have proven yourself through your midos, through your action, through your speech, Allah Geniat Omer, you have proven yourself to be worthy. After, I'll tell you, you know who his father was. But first you have to know who Moshe was. And whether we come from a Gadol Dor home, or someone is a Ger or Gioras, their parents could be very good people, but they weren't Jews. Whether you learned everything in Torah and mitzvahs from your parents, or you learned nothing in Torah and mitzvahs from your biological parents. It's not an excuse either way to choose the right path or to choose the wrong path. And so Moshe's lineage comes well into the biblical narrative to remind us that no Jewish baby can drink from an Egyptian woman, because every Jewish person can potentially speak with the Shekhinah. That's approach A. I thank my son, Aryeh. He said it over like in two lines at the Shabbos table when I was preparing the Shira. My husband and my son-in-law were in the kitchen. My desk is in the kitchen. I said, so my husband was there, my son-in-law was there, my son was not there at the time. I said, who told the Dvar Torah over on Shabbos, true story, I said, about why Moshe's lineage is so late? I said, was it Aryeh? They said, yes, Aryeh. So then I reached out to him and he sent me the copy of the Dvar Torah. I think it's very beautiful. Now we go to approach B. Which approach is correct? Elu ve'eru in 13b. Yatzisa baskova amra. Elu ve'eru divrei Elokim chayim heim. Approach B, that was very beautiful and very important and tremendous Musar Haskel. Approach B is a journey through Pshuto Shel Mikra. I wrote in my notes, italicized, underlined, journey through Pshuto Shel Mikra. You now have to pretend, everyone in this room and everyone listening online, you never learned the story before. You don't know Noach's wife is Naama, all those Torah trivia questions I asked you in the beginning. This is your first time learning about Moshe, okay? Yes? Okay. It's very hard to do. Very hard to do. Why is it so hard to do? Because we have preconceived notions, and it's not the first time we're learning about Moshe. Let's try and look back as if you never heard. This is your first time you ever came to a Torah class, and you never heard anything. This is your first time opening up the Chumash. Okay? Parak Beis, Pasuk Aleph, page 296. This is called Pshuto Shel Mikra, approach B. So don't say Bar Rashi says. Do you understand? Don't say Bar Rashi says. You have to expand the Torah. That was Rav Kuberman's Zecher Tzadik Vracha. He was the head of Michalah. When I was there, he led my trip to Poland, the Michalah trip to Poland. I was zochah to learn under him. Pshuto Shel Mikra. Hashem writes the Chumash in a certain way that we have to learn from the Pshat, not only the Drash. The problem is that our minds are so firmly entrenched and intermeshed with the Drash that we often forget what the Pshat is even saying. Let's start. This is Pshuto Shel Mikra, Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph, page 296. Vayei Chishmi Beis Levi, Vayikach Hasbas Levi. You never heard anything before. You just sat down, and the young Israel of Wilmir, I hear this a Thursday morning, she's off for the next 2 weeks, so today I'm going to learn some Torah. I'm not really off. That's not correct. I'm not teaching in this venue the next 2 weeks, so therefore you're going to come hear some interesting Bible class. And a man from the house of Levi, when he took a daughter of Levi, and the woman became pregnant, she gave birth to a son, and she saw he was good, and she hid him for 3 months. She could not hide him anymore. She takes a little basket, she coats it with tar and pitch, she puts the child in it, she puts it in the reeds by the shore of the river. His sister stood from afar to know what will be done. The daughter of Pharaoh goes down to bathe by the river. Her maidens are going next to the river. She sees this little boat, ark basket in the middle of the reeds. She sends forth her hand and she takes the basket. She opens it up and she sees this boy, and there's a lad crying. She has mercy. This is from the Hebrews. The only thing you know is that this is something that is a Hebrew family, and there's a Basparo. You don't know any names. You have no idea who this story is about, actually. And the sister says to Basparo, should I go and call you a wet nurse from the Hebrews to nurse the child for you? That we spoke about in approach A. And the Basparo says to her, go. And the young maiden went, and she calls the mother of the child. If you sat down here for the first time, do you know who these people are? It's impossible. You have no idea who these people are. And Basparo says, here is the child. She nurses the nurse the child. I will give you your wages. The woman takes the child and she nurses him. And the lad grows up and he is brought to Basparo, and he is to her a son. And she calls his name Nosha. And she said, from the water I drew him. Not only do you not know who these people are, but who names the child? The Egyptian princess, not his parents. By the way, how long was he weaned for? I never saw the Medrash until I was preparing Shir. It's not in your handout because it's a very short line. It's Medrash Shmos Rabbah for your reference. Parsha Aleph, Simen Chavav. Medrash Shmos Rabbah 126, 1-9. Vayigdal hayeled esrim v'arba chodesh hanikatuhu. How old? Vayigdal hayeled perek beis pasuk yod. The child grew up. How old was he when he was weaned? I just read it. 24 months. Thank you. Medrash Shmos Rabbah 126. Asrim v'arba shana heni katuhu. Okay? We don't know anything. Okay? It wasn't those great days. Moshe grew up. All we know about Moshe is that he was named by an Egyptian princess. And he was given up from his family at the age of 24 months. He goes out to his brothers. So he knows he's a Hebrew. Based on the pshat, pshuto shamikra, it's very reasonable to say his adopted mother told him, because what's the first thing she says when she opens up the basket? Miyaldei ha'ivrimzeh. So she knows it's a Hebrew child. So she, according to the pshat, not drash, must have told this child, otherwise how would he know? We're not talking about medrash, even though I know I quoted a medrash to tell you his age. But it's also reasonable that that's when children are weaned. Yitzchak was weaned at the same age. And he sees their affliction. He sees an Egyptian striking a Hebrew. Looks this way and that way. There's no man. He strikes the Egyptian. He hides him in the sand. The second day, two Hebrews are fighting. Remember, miyaldei ha'ivrim zeh. Shnei anashim ivrim nitzim. So the only thing he knows about himself is that he is an Ivri. That's the only thing he knows. If a person is given up at the age of 24 months from their birth parents, and they're not even called the name their birth parents called them. Let me ask you a realistic question. What do you remember from when you were 15, 16, 17, 19, 20 months old? If you're raising your hand that you have very strong memories from that time, you're either a Pella or something very significant stood out. That's ingrained into, seared into your mind from the age of 22 months. If you have a memory, it's presumable that you stayed with the people about whom you have that memory. They continue to call you by the name, put you to bed, give you a bath, sing you a lullaby. Rav Shmuel is a human being. The Torah is very clear. There was a man who took a woman, they married, Rosh was born. How much does he remember from the time before he is given up to Basparo? Moshe is afraid, the matter is known, Paro hears, there's a price tag on his head, he runs away. I will just tell you that according to the Ramban, in Shemos 2:23, Moshe was 20 when he ran away. He's away for 60 years. He has nothing to do with his birth family. From the time he's 24 months old, and he runs away. The whole incident by the well, he saves the girls, Tzipora marries Moshe. He has a son, page 300, Pasuk Chav Beis. He calls him Gershom. Ger ha'isi baretz nachria. I'm a stranger in a strange land. Maybe he's saying my whole life I'm a stranger. Where exactly do I fit in? Parak Gimel. God appears to Moshe. Moshe says, well, let me turn and see this great vision. The bush is not burning. And God calls out to Moshe, Pasuk Dalet, Moshe, Moshe. Moshe says, here I am. Take off your shoes. We spent a month on that last year, 4 full classes. You can find them on YU Torah. Fascinating. Pasuk Vav, page 302. No, Mama's fascinating. I'm being serious. Parak Vav, Pasuk Vav. Vayomer Nochi Elokei Avicha. Did he just tell Moshe who his father is? Exactly. Pshu Tosha Mikra. You never heard this story. Do you know Moshe's father is? Every human being has a father. The only person in the world who did not have a father was Adam. So the fact that he says, I am the God of your father, gives us no information about his family. Everyone has a father, otherwise you wouldn't be here. The God of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe hides his face, he's afraid. I've seen the affliction of my people, I'm coming to take them. You're going to be the Redeemer. Pasuk Yud Aleph. And Moshe says to God, remember, this is his first encounter. He is 80, or Kim'at 80, because he's 80 when he leads the Jews to freedom. The Pasuk tells us, Moshe is 80 and Aaron's 83 when Hashem appears to them. Okay. He ran away at 20. He was given to his adoptive mother at 24 months. So first Moshe says, Mi anochi ki eirechal paro v'chi otzies p'nei Yisrael mitzrayim. So Moshe says, what? Who am I that I should? It's a good question. Who am I? He doesn't know anything about his history or his past. He doesn't know who his parents are, who even he is. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? So God says, I'll be with you. This is the sign that I have sent you. You'll worship God on this mountain. Pasuk Yud Gimel, page 304. Moshe says to God, I will come to the B'nai Yisrael. The next, defense that he shouldn't take the job. And I'm going to say, the God of your father sent me to you. And they'll say, what's his name? What should I tell them? So his first reason I can't go is, who am I that I shall go to Pharaoh? He's right. I'm a shepherd. I'm a fugitive. I have nothing to do with these people. Why are you sending me? He doesn't know who he is. When they say, what's your name? What should I tell them? Ehaya Asher Ehaya. You should say, Ehaya sent me. And then Hashem says, these are the other reasons why you should go. Moshe is still not accepting his mission. The next claim of Moshe. Perek Dalet Pasuk Aleph. So now Moshe says, well, this is all very nice. I'm happy to meet you. Hey, no, yamiduli, v'lo yishmi v'koli. It makes so much sense. Why do you think they're going to believe in me? This old man in flowing robes who looks like an Egyptian shows up. He doesn't even know who he is. And he says, oh, God appeared to me. We're going to freedom. They won't believe in me. They won't listen to my voice. They'll say, God did not appear to you. Doesn't that make a lot of sense? Just pshuto shel mikra. Why are you choosing me? I mean, in today's world, our Torah should be a schus. It's insane that Israel has to defend themselves as we speak against claims of genocide. If you've read anything about October 7th and certain things I read by accident that I didn't want or need to read, it's so insane that Israel is being charged with international court of genocide. It's bi'olam psachim 50a, olam hafuch ra'isi. It's completely insane. But in a world where maybe politicians were normal, would you elect someone who had no prior experience ever in a normal world? Would you go to a doctor who didn't go to medical school? I hope not. Would you go to a physical therapist who doesn't know what they're doing? I hope not. So Moshe's claims are very rational. I'll peep shot. I'm going to pose a compelling question to you, which I've already been strongly alluding to. We don't know who he is. Does Moshe know who he is? And if you say yes, I'm going to ask you, why do you say yes? Where do you see that Moshe knows who he is? We do not know who Moshe is. Does Moshe know who Moshe is? This is a journey through Pshat. You never learned anything about Moses before. I'm not making one thing up. I'm just saying, look at the Pshat. So he says, they're not going to believe in me. Would you ever elect a politician? I'm talking about in a normal world. A delegate to the government who didn't have zero experience. Oh, he was a shepherd. He knows how to talk to the sheep. Great idea. Let's make him the president. Such things happen sometimes in our world. But in our real world, Moshe runs away from the snake. They'll believe in you, all different signs. Okay? They'll believe in you. Moshe has another problem. He says, listen, you want a powerful orator. There's another problem. I don't speak. So first of all, I don't even know who I am. The only thing I know is that I'm a Hebrew, because Bas Par, it makes sense. It's the only thing he knows. So first of all, I don't even know who I am. I'm minding my own business. I'm an old man. They're not going to ever believe that this such a thing happened. Wait a minute. I also can't speak. I literally can't speak. You want me to go to Pharaoh? Nothing makes any sense. He's coming up with all different claims why he can't go. Don't you think you should find a powerful orator, someone who took a public speaking course? Me? Hashem said, who gave man a mouth, who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? It's me, God. Go, I will be with your mouth, I will speak for you. Moshe has another complaint, argument, defense. Be Adonai shlach nabia tishlach. Send whoever you're accustomed to saying. I know what Rashi says, Aaron. Don't call me Rashi. Moshe says you must have someone better to send who's used to being on the job. Look inside. Pasuk Yudal, page 308. I know people have to leave. I know we started late. I also have to leave. Listen to the end on why you Torah if you have to leave. I'm not insulted. I know. Vayichar Hashem b'Moshe. Vayomer. Hello, Aaron Achicha Halevi. Yadati ki daber yadaber hu. V'gam hine hu yotzei the korsecha v'ra'acha v'samach b'libo. This is the first time that Moshe hears what? A name of someone from his family. He has a brother. And what tribe he's from. You have someone alive in your family named Aaron. He is your brother. You are from the tribe of Levi. No wonder they have not heard from Moshe in 60 years. They didn't have email or telegrams or Facebook or WhatsApp status. He doesn't know who his family is. And they don't know what happened to him. Of course he's going to be happy. Yaakov has a heart attack. After 22 years being away from Yosef. 60 years. Of course Aaron's going to be happy to see you. Pidyon Shvuim. You will speak to him and you will put the words in his mouth. I will be with your mouth and I will be with his mouth. I will instruct you what you should say. He will speak to you for the nation. He will be your mouthpiece. You will be a master. Take the staff in your hand. Incredibly, Moshe now does not argue anymore. Until now, he has said one excuse after another. And all of a sudden, Aaron, I have a family. Achicha, I have a brother. Halevi, I am from a distinguished tribe. But he was chosen before he knew any of that. V'ra'acha v'samach b'libo, they're longing to hear from me like I'm longing to hear from him. And then immediately, vayerech Moshe, vayashav al yasser chosnam. He does not need any more convincing. Moshe goes, he goes back to Yisrael, his father-in-law, and he says, Elchon, I love the next words, vashuva al achai. Asher b'Mitzrayim. I have a family. I'm going back to my brother, my brothers. Hara odam chayim. How is the peace of your elderly father? Is he still alive? If a family member has not seen each other in decades, odavi chay. Moshe just found out. Ha odam chayim. Are my parents alive? Is my sister alive? Who else is in this family? I just found about. And Yisro says leich l'shalom. Okay, I am not so brilliant. I must thank Rabbi Dr. Andrew Siklek, who last Wednesday, my name is Zvira Azocha to share Divrei Torah. He asked questions from each other, insights, I share Shiurim often. He randomly texted me last Wednesday, you should have nachas. I'm quoting. First, he just said a friend. I really have to go. A friend. But I just want to point out, I'm not in an area. So he said, a friend shared with me a suggestion last night. Yes, so I'm just going to read you his text, but it really led me to think very, very deeply, which was really the impetus for Approach B. So then I messaged him subsequently saying, if I tell this over in Shir, does your friend want to be quoted? Because I mock with the say B'Shem, but maybe the friend doesn't want to be quoted. So his friend, Dr. Josh Siegel, Dr. Sikuk said, my college roommate, he's an OBGYN in Lakewood. Dr. Josh Siegel shared the following thought with Dr. Sikuk, Dr. Andrew Sikuk. Why does Hashem specify Aaron, your brother, the Levi? And why does Moshe acquiesce to this statement? Perhaps Moshe was gone so long, he suggests that Moshe did not know he had a brother. He didn't know he was a Levi. I'm quoting Dr. Siklik's WhatsApp that I copy and pasted into my share notes. Moshe made no attempt to, in decades to reconnect with his family. I don't agree with that. I don't think he didn't make an attempt to connect with his family. I personally think he didn't even know that he had a family who was alive. When Hashem tells him he has a family and he is a member of the leadership tribe, he agrees to return. That's Rabbi Dr. Sikuk wrote, I think not he agrees to return, he now wants to return. Till now, Moshe, forget that you don't know about his family, till Perek Vav. He doesn't know who he came from. Who are his birth parents? Do you really remember anything that happened to you for you when you were 18, 19, 20 months old? Especially if you were given away from that family and you weren't called by what your birth mother called you? No information on his birth family that he has a family. When he hears he has a family, a brother, a name, a tribe, he's ready to go back. It's gewaldic. Mamish gewaldic. It's fascinating to go through the psukim like you never learned this before and just read the story of Pshuto Shel Mikra. I'm not making anything up. It's all in the Chumash. We have such preconceived notions when we sit down to learn. It's hard to sometimes see the way Hashem wrote the Torah. But I was thinking to myself, because you know there has to be a Musar Haskel. I think it's a tremendous exercise in a journey through Pshuto Shel Mikra. But what's the Musar Haskel here? So I was thinking about it when I was preparing Shir. I said, Micha, there has to be a Musar Haskel. There has to be a lesson. I'm going to quote my own notes. Each person, every Jew, must feel he's part of the family of Am Yisrael. Whether it's your biological family, your national family, in order for each of us to accept and embrace our unique and individual missions in life, we must be aware of who we are, where we belong, that we do belong, and that we are a part of a family. And you could say there are people who might not have family, but you're part of Am Yisrael, that's a family. And you must know, in order to be the best Jew you can be, that there is a family who needs you, who wants you, to whom you belong. I thank Dr. Miriam Kidron, my dear family friend from longtime friend from Jerusalem, for sending me the following in Ivrit, and I thank Toby Carey for sending me the same piece in English. And I think it ties up approach B in such a beautiful fashion. From Sivan Rachav Meir. Shalom, Sivan. I am the mother of Shuli Greenglick. We spoke about him 2 weeks ago. Who fell in Gaza 14 days ago. Yes, I'm on your handout. There are a few important things I want to say, especially at this difficult time. We took a trip with the kids to Arava in order to catch our breath. We're staying at the Rosh Hasita Lodge. My husband and two sons are saying Kaddish for Shauli, but there is no Beit Knesset here. My daughter Michal posted our dilemma on an Arava Facebook group. People have made sure we have Minyan 3 times a day. People from the Moshavs of Hazava and Ein Yachav have been coming. It's very inspiring. My husband says a little bit about Shauli before each Tefillah, but people are not only coming to pray. They offer messages, breakfast, day trips, vegetables, organic, you name it. The nation of Israel inspires us more every day. Looking back, those at the Shiva who touched our hearts were people who did not know Shauli. From Be'er Sheva, from the Golan, from London, Herzliya, they came to say thank you to us, to embrace and share in our pain. I do not listen to the news or read the newspapers in order that the embrace of Am Yisrael should not wear off. The embrace from our nation is strong. No one can make me think otherwise. Thank you to the nation of Israel as I gather strength from all of you, my brothers, I'm quoting directly, and sisters. I posted for our family's chat group words that you recently wrote. We could choose to tell our story. This is important to think about. Despite the fact that his brother sold him, despite his ending up in Egypt, Yosef made a choice to reframe his life in a positive way. By the way, this ties into approach A. We have a choice of how to choose to live our lives, Rambam. Not to be the victim, but to find a mission, to look at the reality as a positive light, to think about why we got here and how he could contribute. I wrote to my family, we can choose and dream as Yosef did. May we hear good news, Ruti, mother of Shuli. My last line of my notes, without a sense of belonging, one runs away. With a feeling of family and belonging, one can become as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. Shir should be a chus for the Liya Neshama, a Moshe ben Yichel Mecha, Mimi Samuel's mother, Zichrona Levracha. Thank you so much, everybody. I will see you, Bezer Hashem, first Thursday in February. Besuras Tovas for Yeshua's.